That's absolutely true. Hey, Kyle. What a great show that was. This week really was fantastic.
And like at the start of the show, you were like, I don't know if you're going to be like invested in the show or not. It was fine. It was
a
good show.
You proved me wrong, dude. You proved me wrong.
That's what I do.
You're on your A game.
Thank you.
You really were.
You are always on your A game.
Last 2 weeks, I haven't been. I don't feel like I have been. Because I've been upset at myself, Kyle. Talked about this on the post show last night. Things really came out ahead. So I want to, before we get into what and why I've been so upset at myself, I want to just get right into the motivation question of the week presented by our good friend and patron, Jose. And by the way, you can send us your questions over at Patreon. So you're a Patreon right now, you're a patron listening, send us your questions. Head on over to the Discord, send us a question. We'll read it on the show. Okay. So, Jose writes in, empowerment question. Oh, goodness. Is there something I should let go of to be able to move forward? Is there something I should let go of to be able to move forward? Was there that thing you need to let go of? Now, I can tell you why I've been upset. Because since E3, I've just been annoyed.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I've been annoyed, and it's been eating at me. I'm like, why am I? And it's not like that, like people on Twitter. It's just on in general. I've been very annoyed at everything and everyone. I think I'm annoyed at myself. And we've talked about this a few times in the post show. It's like, man, I wasted a good year where I could have lost a lot of weight. And now I need to lose a lot of weight because I need to go out there, find something, right? And I think the thing that I need to prove to myself is I need to drop this damn weight. Like, I need to immediately. And I think the thing I need to let go of is my goddamn excuses. Because I think those are the things I've been super aggravated at myself with.
I love that. That's a good answer.
Because, like, every time I'm like, oh, yeah, tomorrow will be my last cheat day. And that's, like, lasts for, like, a month. Nah, this will be the last day. Or you think of that one meal you want to have. You're like, that'll be my last cheat meal. Right? And it never is. Because you can never satiate it. And I was also saying, like, I'm tired of the excuses that I make. Because, like, I'll be for a while, like, I'll go on walks and all this, and I'll try my best to do stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, it'll just stop, and I'll make excuses. Oh, well, there's pollen out, and I'll be sneezing and whatever. And that'll usually be the case, and I have a massive headache, but, like, I need to do it.
Yeah.
Or, like, oh, I don't have enough time in a day. Like, bullshit. You have 15 minutes. You could go. And that's, like, the Joe that's tired of it, I think, is really taking over. He's like, bullshit, you have 15 minutes. You could go out there. Like, bullshit, this isn't the last cheat meal. Eat a goddamn salad, Joe. Like, bullshit, you don't like this lunch, but you're going to have it because it's good for you, damn it. Eat your goddamn broccoli. I love broccoli, but, like, you get it.
Yeah.
I am frustrated of those excuses. And I'll just straight up say it. Fucking laziness on my partner. On my part. It's just been, and that's why I'm like so aggravated, because I'm like, I had this plan. I just keep on making excuse after excuse. And last night, here's where I'm getting real with y'all. I saw not just one, but two people. One person was on Twitter. The other person was on Facebook. I don't want to say names because it's personal. They lost someone close to them. And we've talked about this on the show, Kyle. Heart attack. I remember my one buddy, Dan, we'll call him, told me of his one friend that was just like me, weighed just like as much as I did, died at the age of 30, heart attack. These other two people, this one person has been, like, when you look at them, like, they're easily 400 pounds and had been for a while, and heart attack, 30. One person... 20 fucking 7. So I look at that and I'm like, that is going to be me. Here's the moment. Because I've gotten like warning signs. Like, it's hard to get up now. I'm not going to lie to you. Walking is tough. I'm very tired afterwards, even if it's a short thing. I was walking up this one hill and I was like, man, I could have fucking, like, 7 years ago, I could have ran this. This would have been, I could have run up this steep hill and of course be tired, but like, I'm walking, I need a break. Like, this is not good. So I'm like, I got to stop making excuses. I got to stop this. Because last night after I read that, I don't want to scare anybody. Turned out to be nothing. I woke up the next day. Don't worry. I had a pain in my chest. Right as I was going to sleep. And it was like right here. It wasn't like at the heart, but like we don't know where our heart really is. They say it's at the center. And it's just a myth where it is. And I was like, oh, here it is. And I fell asleep with that panic. And then I woke up and I was like, okay, so this is not good. Like, I can't do this anymore. And it's that like, I'm tired of the excuses I make. I'm tired of all of it. I'm just going to go out there and do it and be realistic with it. So Marcus O'Neill, if you're listening, I'm going to need your help. DM me. The one thing that I've addressed, Kyle, is my love of carbs. Love them. Can't get enough of them. I love, like, my favorite food is a sandwich. You give me a sandwich, I'll eat the shit out of that thing.
I mean, likewise, mine's pizza.
Yeah. So my thing is, like, when I was doing really good, Kyle, and when I mean really good, like, the lowest I've weighed in my 20s was 280. So realize, I'm a large and in charge individual.
Yeah, but I haven't been in the 200s since, like, sophomore year in high school.
Yeah.
I've always been big boy.
Yeah, and that's my one thing. He's like, oh, you've always been big. It's like, fuck that, Joe. That's an excuse. Change it.
Yeah.
So I was just like, okay, I want to get back to that. That's my goal. As I had a cool-ass Han Solo jacket. Felt really good about myself. And Joseph was getting the ladies. So I was like, let's go. Let's do this. Because my one thing is, like, I don't think I have the self-esteem to go out there to a serious employer and go, I know what to do. And we've talked about this, I think, in the last post show. It's like, what is that thing that's holding me back? I think it's the weight. So I need to prove it by losing X amount of weight. And the thing that I'm going to be doing as well is, my brother just called me. Dan, I'll be downstairs. Don't worry. He wants to watch Loki real bad with me. So, yeah, like, I got to stop making excuses. I got to stop. I got to knock it off. So the one thing is, I'm tackling carbs, because I would have carbs literally 2 or 3 meals a day. Like, we're talking bread. So the one thing that I've done is, like, breakfast, I don't have it. So I'm like, okay, now let's go for lunch as well. And let's have it so sometimes we just have breadless days. The one thing that I used to do as well that I really liked is I'd have meatless days. So I'd eat vegan for a day or two. Just keep it nice. Nice. And I generally felt good because I was eating different things every single day. But, like, we're good for me. So yeah. That's the thing. I'm looking at my portions now. And I'm like, this is an asshole portion. I need to cut that down to a regular person portion. And I just got to train myself, because carbs are going to be the hardest thing to lose. So what I'm also doing is, I'm going to stop weighing myself weekly. Because the one thing that I do, Kyle, is I'll lose 25 pounds easy. And then things will get quote unquote hard because I've lost all that water weight.
Yeah, you'll plateau.
Or you'll be like, I lost 1 pound. I just lost 2 pounds. I lost just, you know, or not two, but that's great. But, like, I lost a pound and a half, or just stabilized. So one thing I've noticed, I'm like, I got to stop weighing myself weekly. I'm just going to either do biweekly or monthly. And I'm just going to keep myself in check, because I think that's demotivating me than ever.
Sure.
Because my brain still doesn't understand how weight fluctuates. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to. Gonna do. So yeah, that's the thing I gotta give up to move forward, is I gotta give up this weight. So it's gonna be a physical thing on my back.
Yeah, that's an awesome answer, Joe.
Yeah.
I had no doubt in my mind that you will be able to accomplish that.
I hope. Thank you.
Excuses is a big one. I wish I could just drop that because like you and people can see on the videos and just in general, I am also way too overweight.
Yeah.
And those excuses are every single day for me for the same reasons, mostly laziness. I can 100% say that for a fact. Also, I mean, there are other factors that don't help things. Like I hurt my back real bad last year, moving things around the house. So me standing and walking for even the shortest amount of time, it's excruciating.
Sure.
And I've tried to stretch it in whatever way. So I can't be as physical as I want to be, but I'm going to get better at it and stretch it longer. The other thing with Jose's question that I was thinking of, and it's not, it might sound weird, but like I've mentioned here on post show or just in general, like I think I'm done teaching, right? Yeah. Like I want to do something else with my life. And I think I just need to move on and just straight up say it. Like, this is going to be my last year at summer camp, and not have like, or well, I have a job next summer. Like I have that safety blanket of having some sort of income next summer. If I can only a steady income for like 3 weeks where I work every day, if only I can survive the rest of the year doing little things here and there, once you get to the summer, I'm good. Or like just don't go back to subbing in September. Just really push myself and see what's out there for me and just apply to a bunch of things. And that also falls in line with the excuses part of it, where we talked about this briefly last week, but like looking at the job requirements and being super pumped and excited about me potentially working at this place and then seeing the job requirements and then instantly deflating me and not even applying, not even just throwing it out there just to see what could happen.
Absolutely.
So that is a huge one, but it's very much a just fucking do it kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just stop thinking about it. Stop dreaming of it. Stop picturing it in your head. Make it a reality and take steps into making it a reality is something that I need to do. And part of that is also like, I need to do more things for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I do too much for too many people, and that might sound harsh, but I do. Yeah. And I myself and my own mental and physical health and just emotional health falls at the wayside. Yeah. That's why I cry all the freaking time. It's because I bottle it in and I'm strong for other people. Yeah. And I need to start putting myself first.
Yeah.
And
now does that
make
go along
myself
with
less available, I think, to a lot of people as well, which sucks.
First off, real talk,
but
I think the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I absolutely, that's why, so your family, your sister having a baby, and I tell you, we've had this talk, we had it yesterday of like, for the first week, you should be here. Because we'll, I want you to, and see, you're gonna take it like a personal attack. It's like, I don't know,
I know
what it's like to have kids. I don't know what it's like to it be in a household with kids.
But that's
they
the
annoy
thing,
me, and I don't want anything to do with them.
But that's the thing that goes with me doing more things for myself.
Yeah,
I am at the end of the day, just their uncle. And I've been more than that for years.
Absolutely.
So, whenever it comes to the girls, it's instant cry.
I know. That's why I get it. That's why I do it, Kyle. I don't want to make this up.
Put a tally mark for every time Kyle cries. That's your job.
Right.
There's one on the board. So me, when you say like, take a break, like you don't have to be on the show this week, but I want to be unavailable for them and let them figure it out, because I don't get into it too much here, but the father of my nieces and the person I loathe entirely, he is the big villain of my campaign story. Yeah. He has lived in this house for 8 years.
Yeah.
He's not paid a dime in rent. Doesn't pay for food for the girls. Doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
He stays in my sister's room, which was my baby room when I was little, all day. Runs the air conditioning all day in that room.
Yeah.
Runs up the electricity bill. Is very selfish with his time, his energy, and does whatever the fuck he wants to do.
Yeah.
Let him step up and be an actual father this time.
Fair.
And that's not me saying, like, I'm going to abandon this kid and let him turn out to be a just like him. Oh, hell no. Over my dead body.
Right.
If you were to see those two, my sister and the father, and then see how my girls act and know me, like, oh no, those are Kyle's kids.
Yeah.
Cause that's how much I have
my influence
is on them and how much that I'm around them. So that's not going to stop with this little baby boy, but it's a little bit of, I need to let them try to figure it out.
It also has me thinking, cause I know you're like, no, I need this. This is my time. So
yeah,
of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you hear a baby crying, that's not, what was it? Jiminy? Just think of Jiminy Cricket. Part 2.
Which, by the way, we're in the season and the girls are catching some outside. I'm like, you better fucking leave it outside. Don't bring that shit in here.
Uncle Kai, look. No. Oh, shit.
you should not be able to hear a baby.
Yeah.
Because right, yeah. I mean, I do this in the basement.
Right.
And they are going to be 2 floors above. So if you hear a baby, something's real wrong. Something's real wrong.
And that's the thing. I've never raised a baby. I've held one for a couple seconds. And I'm like, it's like, I'm always like, if I drop this thing, it's game over for this thing. It's too much responsibility. Here you go.
Yeah.
Here's this thing. Have fun with it. Change a diaper, never once. And I don't think I ever want to. So
it's not fun.
Exactly. And then I'm like, oh, it's going to throw up and poop everywhere. Like, dude, yeah, this seems awful. Like, I want to eat. Like, I'm good. And people are like, oh, yeah, you get like, he'll shit on you. It's fine. It's like, what? No, that's the most worst thing.
A pro move I learned before or after my oldest niece, JLo, was born. So when the twins came, I learned to always have important t-shirt around for me to change in just in case they spit up on it.
Exactly. What? And what if it's a good shirt? What if it's a shirt? Like, well, come on.
No. That's why I have another shirt nearby, right, for me to switch in when I'm holding.
If they throw up on my favorite shirt, that's a problem. That's a real spaghetti-o situation. I don't. Upset. That's all I can say. I'd be very
God. There's a Netflix show for you. A show with a baby.
Yeah.
24 hours. Let's just see how it
happens. And I'm dressed up like a sea lion. Like a goddamn narwhal.
It's Papa Bear.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it's.
It's like those stupid memes that I see where. You get $1 million if you live in this house for a year.
Yeah.
You get $1 million show, but you have to have a baby in your room for a week. Can you do it?
I'd forget to feed it. These are my thoughts. I'm like, if I had a kid, because people are like,
did you do the sugar baby in high school?
Yes, 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 yes.
How'd that last?
So with my best friend, Amy, we got a D or a C on that project. And my mom helped us with the financial stuff, and my mom's like, bullshit, you got like a D, I helped you with it, we're very financially stable. It's like, your teacher doesn't know jack shit. I'm like, well, apparently we all don't, Ma.
Oh, that was fantastic.
So like, yeah, my thing is like, everybody's like, once you have a kid, or once, like, you know, like Marcus O'Neill, right? Adopted a beautiful baby boy, Miles. You get that sense of responsibility, they tell you. All I think of is like, I don't know if I like, oh, you feel something else. You'll die for this kid. That's all. Every time I was like, without a question, die for my kids. Sure. I bet that's the case. But if boom, someone, you know, pooped out a kid, I guess that's how it works. And like,
exactly.
They're like, here's your kid. The first thought, Kyle, first thought, this thing has a soft spot on its skull. I gotta.
Oh, you, Joe!
It's got like a self-destruct button. I gotta avoid this thing at all costs. Can this thing wear a helmet? What? Maybe I just don't touch it until that thing forms.
You are the kid on the museum field trip where you walk in and everything says do not touch. You immediately go,
eh. That's and the other whole thing falls down. It's a soft spot. I kind of want to feel.
God, Joe!
That's the other thing. I got to fight the urge to boop. And then like my kid grows up, he's nine, he's like, why do I have a smiley face on my skull?
Huh? Hey, I was curious. Don't worry, everybody. He is not coming to visit my baby boy nephew anytime soon. He's gonna sign his name in my nephew's skull.
Yeah, yep.
Rest of his life be branded with Joe.
Joe was here. Fun
or fact. Bloodborne is the game of the generation in the back of this kid's head.
Yeah, BB Ugh. Goat.
Blue Box Studios? What?
My brother, when he was born, they had to use like a suction cup on his head to get him out of there.
Sure.
So he I had was like a C-section cone. Baby. Yeah, same here. He had a cone head, and my dad asked the doctor, so he's gonna be like that, or they're like, oh, it'll reform. Okay. So that's how my dad talks. Yeah.
Side note, since we're on the topic of
and then they'll be like, oh, nobody knows what to do, Joe, when you get, I'm like, that's terrifying.
It is terrifying.
Oh, the miracle of life, and whatever the fuck you do, try your best. What?
it's a lot. Since we're on the topic of children, and kind of tying into last week when we were watching silly YouTube videos to start off the post show. Have you ever seen how, like, toddlers and infants get x-rayed?
No.
Oh, Joe. I want you right now, go into Google and type in how toddlers get x-rayed,
or whatever. How toddlers get x-rayed.
And I hope it comes up with this stuff.
Video.
No, you don't need to do a video. Oh, you can just look at videos. Or images.
Okay, let's see. One second, I'm trying. Pediatrician. Wait, let me just go on Google Images. What am I doing here?
Yeah, what are you doing?
What the fuck?
Okay, so everyone who's listening to this audio, the way toddlers get x-rayed is they put these babies and small children in tubes, and they're like in this little tiny tube so they don't move, and it looks like it belongs in some sort of science fiction novel. There's got to be a better way.
Here's the thing. That looks terrifying because it kind of looks like a blender.
Yes, it does. I don't understand.
And this hot nurse, there's a hot nurse here. What's her deal? What's she about? She's like,
oh, boy.
Oh, hello. Why are people always way more attractive in nurse gowns?
In scrubs? In scrubs, I don't. Whatever. That's a great question.
Oh, we're diving into something else now, so I gotta tread lightly here.
We're getting pretty close to how babies are being made. I'm just saying, you know, right? Like, it's full circle.
Yeah, look at this one dumb baby. Oh, look at his little chubby little arms. Oh, what a little dingus. That's the thing. Like, babies' hands, fucking cute as shit. Are you kidding me? And then, like, they grab onto your index finger. That's the cutest shit I've ever seen in my life.
The
little baby feetsy weetsies, Kyle.
Yeah.
You get little shoes.
Yeah,
I love it. But, like, the responsibility? Good.
Marcus probably knows this, and any of our other patrons that listen to this that have little ones or had little ones.
Yeah.
The best feeling in the world is sitting down on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And just, at least for me as a big guy, and this is what my dad did to us as kids, just lay them on your chest, and then they fall asleep. Because your chest is moving up and down and breathing, and it's so calming just having a little one like sleeping on you. It's the best blanket and most relaxed I've ever felt.
Now, here's the thing. You don't want to know what is terrifying? Baby x-rays. Because I saw Getty Images, x-ray of a baby. That's fucking terrifying. That looks like a velociraptor. Yeah. And that's what I was talking to my friend Lindsay, who's a big dumb idiot and I hate her, and Amy, and like we had this conversation of like real talk. I'm like, I don't know if I want to be a dad anymore. I don't know if it's for me. I don't think it's in the cards. I don't. Eh. And my friend Amy's like, are you kidding me, Joe? You've always wanted to be a dad. And you'd be such a great father. And I'm like, Amy, you've known me since we've been 15, 16, like over 10 plus years now. Have you not known me at all? Like, if I would be the best. Like, she's like, you'd be the best dad. Out of anybody we know, come on, Joe. And I'm like, out of anybody we know, I'd be the best. You're setting an awful low bar for everybody. Like, people in this room, sure. But, like, outside there, nah. And our friend Lindsay's like, I don't know if I want to get married. I'm like, you know what? That's a good decision, because I don't think anybody want to marry you, Lindsay. You're the worst. So, you know, looks like that. I'm a good
Poor
friend.
Poor Lindsay. Poor Lindsay.
No, we give each other shit all the time.
Oh, okay.
Like, she'll say something really mean and like would be hurtful, and then I'd say something back. Like, she okay, here's something funny. Lindsay is the typical white girl, right? Stereotypical, to a key. T. She got an apartment and it's very beautiful. Like, great, great location, everything. But she has like all the all the typical like dumb mom like things, like cheesy like sayings on the wall, and she goes,
"May God bless this house." Those kind of things,
100%. And she has a sign that says, "Love belongs in this house," something along that line, or "Love lives in this house." And I go,
"Sure."
I read it out loud. I go, "Lindsay, you live alone."
Joe! Oh, man. Poor Lindsay.
A-plus moment in my life. Like, you know when you're like, that's a slam dunk. That's a grand slam of a joke.
Every once and again, Joe,
yeah.
I know you're not a sports fan.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. Every once in a while, it catches me off guard, and I relearn it all over again. So, no one will see this because this doesn't go out as a video. You said the word slam dunk,
uh-huh,
and then proceeded to shoot the longest three-pointer I've ever seen in my life. And you were at like the half-court line, and you just heaved it towards the basket and said slam dunk, completely not even close. It's like saying home run and then throwing a football as the motion. God.
It's true. Should have stuck to baseball analogies. At least I have a vague idea.
Oh
my goodness gracious.
Slammed up. Fade away three.
Catherine writes in. This will be the last one. Because I promised I'd watch Loki with my brother. And then I got to edit this podcast. So this is another 3 a.m. edit. That's for sure. Loving it. Okay. Catherine writes, I had a Jose type question, but I forgot. So I'm going to go with this alternative. What shirts are on the top of the rotation after you do your laundry? I have this black and white striped shirt, which fits me really well. I also got one new one from a local brewery the other day that is quickly moving up the ranks. My Spider-Man shirt. It's the most comfortable shirt. First on the rotation.
I have a couple.
Yeah.
Including, like, if we're talking hoodies here, Catherine, I have a steady rotation of hoodies.
How often do you wash your hoodie? What's your...
Whenever the washing machine is open.
Okay.
For me to do laundry, because this house runs laundry way constant. Too much.
I got you.
I think shirt-wise, I go... There's a couple of Critical Role shirts that I have that I absolutely love and adore.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever my Trophy Room Pride merch comes in, I'll wear that all the time. And some like PlayStation inspired ones, like my Brock and Sindri God of War Blacksmith shirt that I got from Fangamer. I adore. And the Celeste one from Fangamer I got as well. They're fantastic. Mm. It's yeah, there's a lot of shirts that I go to because I know they fit me. I know they're long enough. Mm-hmm. So I don't have that sliver of belly hanging out at the bottom.
I hate that.
Because that's, I hate it so much. Yeah.
That's why I always get XLT long. Mm. Want a long shirt.
Yeah.
I don't even have to wear, that's why I love the Spider-Man one. Even got to think about it. Last thing, you did mention something with 6-1 Indy that you talked about. I don't know if we hit it on that one. You said you want to talk about it maybe after the show.
Is it coming No, it's just E3 took a lot out of me.
Yeah.
I mean, tired, yeah, because I sat in this chair that is not that comfortable and stared at a screen for way too long every day. Mm-hmm. And did like a couple hour podcasts every single night. So I was tired that way. But when we did like a AAA drunken podcast thing on
5 hours, Kyle.
Yeah, buddy. 5 hours where we talked about all the AAA stuff. Yeah. And it wasn't until like quarter to four, where everyone got really sappy and really, just, you know, talking about how much we love each other and how, because this was like the first major
thing that even you guys have done.
Yeah. Even though E3 as a whole wasn't nearly as big as past years, the fact that we covered what stole the show at E3 Indies, and I think we did a damn good job at it. And just that we got to work with our friends at Point in Progress, like Fiona and Mario Rivera, who've been on the show, and the fantastic people over there. It just made me so grateful that I'm here doing this. Because I said on that 5 hour thing where before I met you, before I did the show, I was pretty close of saying good. Yeah, go ahead. Pretty close to not being here anymore. That's how low I was. And diving into the KF community as a whole and getting to meet everybody in it who have become family to me picked me up out of that thing.
Yeah.
And the only reason I'm here and the only reason that the main reason why I'm still here is because those people showed me enough love to tell me to keep going. And for some reason at the end of that show, it just hit me hard how I'm so close to making the dream a reality of doing this for a living. Mm-hmm. And thinking back as to where I was a few years ago, oh boy, yeah. I don't ever want to be in that place again. And
I'll count that as two, Kyle.
Okay. you can count them all you want.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe this will land me in an emotional spot. And when I tell this to you guys, I don't know if I'm actually supposed to tell you this. But I'm going to, because if you're a patron, you listen to the show, honest to God, keep this between us. I already know that's not a smart thing to say.
I realized that the other day. How the people who listen to this know way more about me than a lot of people.
Yeah, don't go tweeting this. This is very much confidence between you and I.
Very much not a banger.
When you tweeted me that, when I saw you guys were having a drunk show, it annoyed me.
Yeah. Really?
I got annoyed. Because I hate drunks. Like, I hate drinking. I hate it. I hate drink. Like, I hate alcohol.
That sounds like high school, Kyle.
Yeah. But like this, like there's a reason. So like my mother was an alcoholic.
I remember you telling me this.
Oh, cool. Okay. So I told you in confidence.
Yeah.
So when there is alcohol involved, I just fucking don't like it. Like it's just such a, I guess when you see it so many times, you just like, all right, we get it. So
sure.
You know, my mother overcame it. She's awesome. She's the coolest person ever. Mm-hmm. And now she's she is the closest thing that I have to a faith-based system, because she did what was the impossible. So, so like, I just personally, like, to me, I'm just like, why do you think, like, it's really the fact of like, why do you think it's fun? Why do you think it's cool? There's nothing cool about this. And it is an irrational, like, annoyance. And I get it. I always have to take a step back and like, Joe, your experience is not everybody's experience. This is an irrational thought. You're taking your 7-year-old mom throws a temper tantrum in front of your Super Smash Brothers 30 and 64 across the room. Somehow it still worked. Don't worry. So don't yell at her. you're taking that experience.
Yeah.
Don't think about that experience.
Yeah, no, I mean, high school me was in your boat. My aunt and uncle live in front of us, and my uncle is a very bad drunk who is very angry about it.
Yeah.
And my family, my parents, I have never seen them drink an ounce of alcohol in my entire life. Mm. I am the only one in this household that will drink from time to time.
Yeah.
But in high school, I was just like, kids going to parties? No, stop it. You're not old enough. Very goody two shoes. Like, knock it off. Nothing good's going to happen. Everyone that I know that drinks at that time was my uncle, turns into a raging asshole who I can't stand, who becomes very violent. And it wasn't until I got to college where I was like, okay, that's not everybody. Sure, it happens, but I was afraid of myself turning into that because I was a big dumb kid. And, like, I don't know how alcohol will respond to me. Newsflash, I turned into a sappy, crying, happy mess.
Yeah.
Your viewpoint is completely valid, and I still love you. And if it ever becomes a bother and you are really ticked off, you can talk to me.
Oh, no. It won't be.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. Okay.
But, like, right. Retrospect, like, I took it like this irrational. Thank you for the kind message.
Sure.
Yeah. This is a me thing, and I'm.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotcha.
Externalizing it for no reason. Again, like, I was 7. Video games saved me from that for the most part.
Absolutely. So
I'm
like,
I'm fine. I get that. I'm fine. That. Guys, don't have to be like, Joe, I didn't know. It's not a big deal. We're over that hump. We're good here. It's nice here.
Yeah.
Trust me. We love Mama Bad Bitch.
She's whenever she pops on, it's amazing. She is the best. when we were recording during the election, and I know you got to go, or around that time where everything was popping off, whenever she would pop in to say something to you, and she was like, oh, does... pointing to the screen. Oh, does he know about what's going on with Trump or whatever? I was like, yes, Mama Bad Bitch, I do. I know.
Okay.
she's amazing.
Yeah,
I love her.
She really is. I like.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, she's getting old now. No, she's got a bum knee. Hey, tell her it's just a matter of time. I'll push you down this goddamn stairs. Get that inheritance money.
I'll put you in a home. I'll do it.
I'll do it. You dumb son of a gun. You know, though, who is a really fun drunk, but sort of violent, is my dad. Before we go, I gotta say that he's actually like, he'll be like, he'll like punch you in the shoulder like playfully, but he doesn't know how hard he hits. And he'd be like, hey. If you know my dad, he's a stoic, like he shows no emotion, but then like he gets an ounce of drink in him and he's just like glowing. Sometimes not all that bad. Also, hard seltzer, dig it.
Oh yeah, that's what I drank. White Claw.
And then they're like, because I had it on Friday. I've had it a few times since, and they're just like, "Oh, I wonder how hard this is gonna hit you. Like, this is gonna be, it's gonna be pretty wild for you." And I'm like, "It's hard seltzer.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be fine.
Yeah.
Now, if give anything, me another.
It's more
they're like, Joe, you've had more, nine.
what's the word I'm looking for? It's more hydrating than any other kind of alcohol.
Honestly.
Really.
Honestly, it's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'll never touch it. It's just, And also, I've been
I get you.
Yeah, I've been tipsy once, and I was just like, this sucks. Like, this honestly sucks. And I was annoyed there, too, because I was like, oh, it's college. It's fine. Like, everybody has this one thing. And then I did it. I was like, this fucking sucks. I hate this. I hate being hilarious.
I'll be real with you. On the flip side of that, I have never smoked a day in my life.
Like jazz cigarettes?
Yeah, like the Mary Jane, the devil's lettuce. We're
changing that, yeah.
No, we're not, because that is very something that I'm very much still like, sure, maybe harmless, but I see what, again, my niece's father and what he does.
One day I'm going to hand you an edible, and you're not going to notice, and you're like, Joe, this
Joe, I think that's a fucking felony. I'm just saying that right now.
I think it is, but if I give you a warning, then I'm gonna do it.
As I swallow it, you're like, and see ya.
No,
see
no, no. This is the warning. This is the warning.
Oh, this is the warning right now. Okay. Note to self. Don't eat anything Joe gives you.
You're like, oh, this gummy bear tastes like shit. Yes, because it's weed. What? See you in 5 minutes, Kyle. Joe, my hand's fucking invisible.
What? Oh, my God. Am I Hassan Karaman of Blue Box Studios?
Everybody, that has been the Trophy Room After Show. I love you all very much. It's time for me to go bond with my brother and watch a Loki. So, sweet. Love you all very much. Keep your wits about you. Keep hunting. Keep playing PlayStation. Love you.
Bye-bye.